The Dark Hives are a collection of the paranormal, the occult, the unusual, and the strange tales from all around this world and others. This podcast contains mature themes and language. Listener discretion is advised.
Happy New Year. Welcome back to the Dark Hives. I'm your host, Colton. If you want to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of the night, then you came to the right place. In the spirit of the new year and new beginnings, I thought it would be fitting to talk about some real-life experiments for raising the dead and the mad scientists behind them. But before we creep up on the topic of this episode, I would ask that you reach out to me on social media. You can find the Dark Hives on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok with username @TheDarkHivesCast. And you can also check out thedarkhives.com where my episodes will also be posted. I have also placed timestamps for each section of this episode in the show description. Frankenstein, written by author Mary Shelley in 1818, is one of the most important works of horror ever created, and Shelley is posthumously considered to be the creator of contemporary horror, and without her novel, what we know of the horror genre today would absolutely be very different. Shelley's inspiration for her novel came from her parents, who were both authors and very liberal people. Shelley's mother wrote one of the first works of feminist philosophy. Shelley was a very educated woman. Other inspirations for the book came from the Roman poet Ovid, which even inspired the alternative title for the book, which is the modern Prometheus. In mythology, Prometheus stole the power of fire from the gods and gave it to humanity, and was eternally punished for it. In the book, Dr. Victor Frankenstein commits a similar offense, when he plays God, not only attempting to reverse death, but desecrating multiple corpses in order to create a new being. But of course, the moral of the story is be careful what you wish for, because he unintentionally creates a monster. The message of this story is still very relevant today, when human/technological integration is considered a very controversial topic. Ethics of AI, gene editing, Neuralink implants, and DNA splicing are some of the most heated debates in the scientific community and beyond. Stories like Frankenstein, Jurassic Park, Splice, and even Ultron in the Avengers franchise ask the same question: what happens when science goes too far? But Shelley's inspiration for her novel weren't only mythology, works of fiction, and her parents' writings, but also the works of scientists, alchemists, and occultists performing very real experiments on the dead. While Shelley never explicitly stated that electricity was the vessel of resurrection in her book, the idea of using electricity to resuscitate a corpse wasn't new. Everyone knows that Benjamin Franklin proved that lightning was electricity in 1752, but electrical discoveries were happening as early as the year 600 BC in Greece when static electricity was recorded. And yeah, I know, just static, but the understanding of electricity was new and blossoming into what we know of today. Magnetism and bioelectricity were discovered, the battery was created, and the first electric telegraph had all been made before Shelley wrote her novel. But the most relevant field of electrical use to this topic is something called galvanism. Galvanism is the theoretical use of electricity to stimulate or restart life, named after scientist Luigi Galvani. Luigi Galvani was an Italian physician, physicist, biologist, and philosopher. He was born in 1737. He studied a science he coined animal electricity, which was an early form of the study of bioelectricity. In 1780, he discovered that the muscles of dead frogs' legs twitched when struck with an electrical spark. In the novel Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein does learn about galvanism, and Shelley was well aware of the work of Galvani. But like I said, it wasn't stated to be the way the monster was created. In fact, in the book, Dr. Frankenstein never reveals the true secret to life. But the works of Galvani and a couple other scientists on our list very much did inspire the 18-year-old author. As Galvani aged, his nephew began to carry on the family legacy of galvanism, but in a much more mad science-y way. In January of 1803, a man named George Forster was executed via hanging in London. And if you remember the Black Dog episode, then you may remember that the spirits of large black dogs were seen in a place called Newgate Prison, and it's said to be because of the number of executions that took place in the area, and the black dogs represent death. George Forrester was being executed there. Fun little crossover. He had been found guilty of drowning his wife and child. Following his execution, his body was sent to none other than Aldini, who moved to that area specifically to be close to the hangings. He was a weirdo. And after gathering a large crowd of onlookers and medical students, he got to work. After proving that the man was actually dead, he placed electrodes into the ear canals of the corpse. One of the attendees actually recounted what happened next. I quote, "On the first application of the process to the face, the jaws of the deceased criminal began to quiver, and the adjoining muscles were horribly contorted, and one eye was actually opened. In the subsequent part of the process, the right hand was raised and clenched, and the legs and thighs were set in motion. So it was basically a shit show. This man was literally trying to shock a man back to life for a crowd. But I guess scientifically you don't know until you try it. And his uncle's discovery of animal electricity seems so promising to Aldini." A little further back, 1673 to be exact, a man named Johann Conrad Dippel was born. Silly name aside, he may be the most interesting man on the list. He was born in Castle Frankenstein in Germany. Yes, the real one. Or at least the castle that inspired the name for her protagonist and influenced the aesthetic of Shelley's novel. Dippel himself might very well have been the main inspiration behind the young Dr. Frankenstein. Dippel was a very controversial man. He was a student of alchemy, which in many ways was a precursor to chemistry, but alchemy was considered an occult science. Dippel was a follower of Hermeticism, which is a spiritual philosophy and was closely associated with the idea of primeval divine wisdom, revealed only to the most ancient of sages. Alchemy is a part of Hermeticism, and one of the goals of the alchemical movement was to create a universal elixir, a potion that would cure all ailments and even stop aging. Along with alchemy, followers of Hermetic writings were also students of astrology and theurgy, which is a type of white magic that occultists would perform with divine beings and archangels. During his experiments with alchemy, Dippel and another scientist, a fellow Johann Jacob Diesbach, accidentally discovered a new shade of blue, known as Prussian blue, when combining an animal oil that Dippel had made that contaminated potassium carbonate. Dippel was able to return to Castle Frankenstein after earning his master's degree at university. He set up his own laboratory and performed all kinds of occult science there. It's heavily rumored that he also experimented with cadavers, and it's even said that he attempted soul transference, which is the act of transferring a soul to another body, but not much is known of these attempts. Dippel also experimented regularly with dead animals, and in his dissertation, Dippel even claimed not only to have discovered the universal elixir, but that he discovered the means to exorcise demons from potions he brewed using animal bones and flesh. Towards the end of his life, he focused solely on alchemical experiments. He was accused by church leaders of grave robbing, desecrating corpses, and even selling his soul to the devil for secret knowledge of the universe, and becoming, quote, a dark sorcerer. However, it is unclear exactly how correct he was, because a year before his death, he claimed to have discovered a potion that would extend his life until his 135th year. He died at 60. Some say it might have been a stroke, but others say it could have been poison. While Aldini was performing his own galvanism experiments, a young Scottish scientist named Andrew Ure was getting his degree in Glasgow. After college, Ure was looking for a scientific outlet, and he came across Aldini's work. He found it to be fascinating and wanted to get in on the reanimation action. By 1818, the year of Frankenstein's release, Ure had already been experimenting with a never-ending supply of executed English criminals. He stayed busy. But like Aldini, Ure also had a crowd for every demonstration of his work. And it wasn't the easiest thing to watch, as I'm sure you probably could have guessed. A recording of one of his attempts at resurrection states, "Every muscle of the body was immediately agitated with convulsive movements, resembling a violent shuddering from cold. On moving the second rod from hip to heel, the knee being previously bent, the leg was thrown out with such violence as nearly to overturn one of the assistants, who in vain tried to prevent its extension. The body was also made to perform the movements of breathing by stimulating the phrenic nerve and the diaphragm. When the supraorbital nerve was excited, every muscle in his countenance was simultaneously thrown into fearful action. Rage, horror, despair, anguish, and ghastly smiles, united their hideous expressions on the murderer's face. At this period, several of the spectators were forced to leave the apartment from terror or sickness, and one gentleman fainted. After many fruitless attempts at anything beyond spectacle, and due to pressure from the church, who had basically sent him a cease and desist letter, Andrew Ure gave up on his passion for reanimation and scaring the shit out of everybody. And he actually went on to do good things for science that still affect us today. And we're gonna fast forward all the way to Soviet Russia. A scientist was elbow deep in reanimation experiments, and he was getting results. I'm gonna butcher this. Sergei Bryukhonenko. I'm just gonna call him Sergei. Was the scientist in the Stalinist era who invented what he called an autojector, or the heart-lung machine, but his application of the machine was what made it weird. Sergei had stated his purpose in this was to eventually learn how to completely reanimate fallen Soviet men on behalf of the state. Sergei documented many of these experiments in the 1940 film titled Experiments in the Revival of Organisms. It's a crazy-ass video, and I saw it on Reddit a while back. It's actually what inspired this episode. In the video, the experiments start with the heart of a canine, which is shown being isolated from a body. Four tubes are then connected to the organ, using an apparatus to supply it with blood. The heart beats in the same manner as if it were a living organism. The film then shows a lung in a tray, which is operated by bellows that oxygenate the blood. Sergei decapitated a dog and immediately connected it to the autojector, which drew out the blood from the veins and circulated it through a filter for oxygenation. The head is presented with an external stimuli, which it responds to. According to his paper, he kept the severed dog's head alive and responsive for over an hour and a half before blood clots built up and killed the dog on the table. Finally, a whole dog is brought to clinical death by draining all blood from it. It is then left for 10 minutes and connected to the heart-lung machine, which gradually returns the blood into the animal's circulation. After several minutes, the heart then restarts a normal rhythm. Respiration likewise resumes, and the machine is removed. Over the ensuing 10 days, the dog recovers from the procedure and continues living a healthy life. And according to the film, multiple dogs were brought back to life using this method, including one which is an offspring of parents who were both also resuscitated. Here is a clip of the English version of the 1940 film.
10 minutes have elapsed since the animal died. The blood removed from the animal is pumped back into its vessels by the autojector. The autojector ensures a normal blood circulation in the organism, replacing the action of the dead heart and lungs. The artificial blood circulation gradually induces the heart to start beating again. The heart's action begins to be normal. The respiration is gradually restored. The dog breathes more normally and evenly. The animal's condition approaches normal. We can now disconnect the autojector and leave the organism of the dog to maintain life with its own resources. The dog soon shakes off the effects of the anesthetic. The dog is still weak and can't move. After 10 to 12 days, the dog returns to its normal state.
According to the Soviet Congress of Science, Sergei actually managed to reanimate a cadaver in 1930. Given a recently deceased corpse of a man who had committed suicide, Sergei and his team plugged the body up to the autojector and pushed a concoction of odd chemicals into his bloodstream. The man's chest cavity was laid open, and the team supposedly got his heart started again. It was said that they got as far as developing a steady heart rhythm when the man started groaning out. And it was at this point that everybody got really scared and shut the experiment down, letting the man die again. And it was probably for the best. It could have been a pet cemetery situation or something. Sergei's research would prove to be vital in the development of open-heart procedures in Russia, and he was also one of the leaders of the Research Institute of Experimental Surgery, where the first Soviet open-heart operation was performed in 1957. Boy, do I love this topic. I found out a lot of connections to other things I've studied since I began the podcast. I'd love to dig some more into alchemy and hermeticism. Do I believe reanimation can occur? Yes, but only if the body has recently died. I wish our boy Sergei just let the guy wake up. But, like I said in the Yeti episode, Russia is a very secretive place, especially Soviet Russia. So who knows? Maybe they have been reanimating dead soldiers. Surely since 1940 they've upgraded from dogs. As stated before, the question of science going too far is perhaps more relevant today than ever before. And maybe we should heed Mary Shelley's warning of accidentally creating a monster. If you would like more content or to hear about future episodes, feel free to reach out to me on my TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram, username @TheDarkIvesCast. Don't forget to click follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening on and to leave a review of my show. It helps grow the podcast and helps me connect with my listeners so I can continue to put out as much quality content as I can. Let me know what creepy things you'd like to hear covered, and if you have your own personal paranormal story, I'd love to hear that as well. That's all I have for you today. Until next week, cover your windows, lock your doors, and I'll see you on the other side.
Oh.